This is your warlord of weird, Sin Bodhi. Look both ways before you cross the street while you're skating on thin ice carrying scissors. You're listening to The Final Count.
Hi, this is former WWE superstar Kieran Cross, and you're listening to The Final Count.
This is former WWE and TNA Impact superstar Mike Knox, a.k.a. Nux. You are listening to The Final Count. Keep it tuned.
Hey everybody, Anthony Corelli here, formerly known as Santino Morella, and you are listening to The Final Count.
Yo, peeps, you're listening to The Final Count with my boy Ryan right there, bro. So listen, don't forget who's telling you this. It's your boy, Eric.
Hello everybody, it's the Croc Rockin', Nickelback Poppin', Curls for All the Girls, the Perminator, Sam Beal, as seen on Impact Wrestling, and you are listening to The Final Count.
What's up, guys? That's right. It is Ryan here for the Final Count Spotlight. And this week's guest is the star of the show, Star Rider. That's right. Star Rider will be joining me in just a few moments. But first, before I get into the plugs, I want to go ahead and just remind you that this is our new format. That we have our spotlights, and then we also have our review shows. Typically, our spotlights will be on Tuesdays. Our review shows will be on Fridays. So that's how the new format is going to run. That's how it is running. And so, yeah, I'm excited about it. Hope you're excited about it. Hope you're excited for all that's coming with The Final Count. I want to go ahead and remind you that next Tuesday will be the first ever time that you can choose to listen to the audio version or the watch the video version of both the spotlight and the review show. So you'll be able to choose which one you want to, whether you want to watch or whether you want to listen or whether you want to do both. If you're one of those people that's out there that's like, I want to listen, I want to hear the audio, I want to be able to see, you know, and see the conversation, you know, see the video. You can choose or you can listen to both or watch and listen. So do audio and video as well. So you're going to have that opportunity starting next Tuesday and then on Friday, of course, as well. So we're excited about that. Good things coming on the horizon. We're working on some great guests. And so we got a bunch of guests lined up. And so it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a great thing as the future is unfolding. And we are working our way towards episode 100. So we hope you join us along for the ride. And we'll have some special things leading up into episode 100. And we'll let you know those details as it becomes available in the near future. Before I throw you to the plugs, I want to talk to you and just thank you about all your likes, all your comments, everything, all your feedback. We've got a lot of great feedback with a chance being a part of the show. We've got a lot of great feedback recently within the past week of how many people are enjoying Chance being the new co-host and then this new format and everything. So I hope you're all enjoying it. I love to hear the feedback. Keep giving us the feedback. Keep letting us know how you like it, what you like, what you don't like. Keep letting us know who you want to hear. We'll reach out to who you want to hear, who you suggest. If you're a wrestler, you're a promoter out there, you want to get some of your wrestlers on the show, you want to get some of your wrestlers on a spotlight, if you're a wrestler out there, you want to get on the spotlight, reach out to us, let us know. We want to, ring announcers, commentators, if you're interested, referees, whatever it may be. If you're interested in being on the spotlight, let us know and we will get that booked and get you on for possibly the next spotlight. But for right now, I want to thank you again for all of your support, whether it's liking, commenting on our posts, on the shows itself, whatever it may be. I want to thank you all for your support by going to Collar and Elbow, by using the WWE affiliate link that we have, and then all that good stuff. And also, again, as I said, there's no obligation, but you do have the option, especially if you see on Spotify, you can have the option. There is the option available to, if you would like to support monetarily, that you can. We're not charging anything for any of the episodes, but you can definitely, if you want to support us, you can definitely do that in supporting, you know, maybe $1 or $2, 50 cents, whatever it may be. It all adds up. It all goes towards the final count. And we're looking forward to everything that the final count is going to do. We're looking forward to every guest that we're going to have on for the spotlights. We're looking forward to just building the brand bigger and bigger and better. So it's just going up from here. And hope you're along for the ride. And thank you for those of you that are along for the ride. For right now, I want to throw it to our plugs, and then we will be right back with the star of the show, Star Rider.
You can find us on social media by going to facebook.com/thefinalcountky on Facebook, and then on Instagram and Twitter at thefinalcountky, and on YouTube you can find all of our past episodes by just typing in the search bar thefinalcountky. Also, I mentioned we are now on more platforms for podcasts, such as Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public, and also on iTunes. So be sure to check us out on all those platforms that you can find podcasts on. The Final Count is on all of those platforms that I just mentioned. I want to go ahead and mention that if you go to collarandelbowbrand.com and use the promo code FinalCountKY, you can save 10% at checkout when you use our promo code, and you will be supporting not only Collar and Elbow, but you will also be supporting the Final Count and getting merch and all that good stuff. Collar and Elbow has good swag. Definitely recommend it. Very comfortable, great fitting swag, t-shirts and shirts. So definitely go over and check out collarandelbowbrand.com. Use the promo code FinalCountKY, that's in all caps, and save yourself 10% at checkout, and tell them the Final Count sent you, and say hi to Al Snow. But with more, speaking of Al Snow, with more on CollarandElbowBrand.com, with more on Collar and Elbow, here is Al Snow.
Wrestling. A love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The Wrestling Brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connects emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
All right, fans, welcome to this week's spotlight. the star of the show, Star Rider. How you doing, Star Rider?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. I want to thank you for joining me on this week's The Final Count Spotlight.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, you're very welcome. We're excited to get this interview going. So, you know, let me ask you this. When did you first decide to get into the pro wrestling business?
I figured even when I was a kid that it was something I always wanted to do. I always wanted to be a wrestler or a baseball player. And originally I was going to go to college for Division II baseball, but I decided against it and decided to start my wrestling journey sooner.
Nice. Who were some of your inspirations growing up, as, you know, watching wrestling, or did you watch as a kid?
My very first memory of watching pro wrestling is with my uncle in his basement. And the first memory I have is Rey Mysterio popping up through the stage of SmackDown. And I was immediately like captivated by him. I was like, holy crap, that guy is freaking awesome. And then I remember seeing a vignette for, I was flipping through the channels one night between, I think it was the Reds game and then Monday Night Raw, and I saw this vignette for Jeff Hardy, you know, returns next or something. I was like, well, that looked pretty cool, so let's see what this guy's about. And those two are my biggest inspirations for getting into the business, for sure.
Now, I have to ask you, you use the Frog Splash a lot, correct?
Yes, I've used the Frog Splash, the Swanton, and now currently it's the Double Stomp.
Okay, and the reason I ask you that is because, do you take the Frog Splash from like Eddie Guerrero or anything?
Yes, Eddie is the reason that I do the Frog Splash, him and RVD. Yeah. And obviously Jeff is why I did the Swanton when I very first started out wrestling.
Awesome. So I just wanted to know just like if that was where you got that from or
Yes.
Eddie was one of my favorites, all-time favorites, and so,
he's up there for me 100%.
For sure. Who were you trained by?
Roger Ruffin in Cincinnati, Ohio at Bone Crushers.
Nice. And what was that training like?
The very first day, I remember locking up with Jordan Clearwater. Do you know Jordan?
The name sounds familiar.
Okay, yeah, he's out in NWA right now doing his thing. But my very first lockup was with him, and it's the basics. You learn how to lock up, how to put on a headlock, arm twist, all that kind of stuff. Taking your first flat back bump, how to run the ropes and all that kind of stuff. So it's very basic. So when you're with Roger, it's the basics. And then you don't learn anything else until you master the basics. And then you can go on to the more advanced kind of moves.
Right. Now, you know, everyone's first match is always an interesting story. No matter who my guest is, that first match, their first matches, that story is always interesting. So do you remember what your first match was like?
Vividly. I was with the NWF and we were in Laurel, Indiana. I was not expecting to wrestle at all. I had only been training for about 7 months. So I thought I was ready. I was like, man, why am I wrestling right now? So, as doors were opening and were letting fans in, somebody threw a pair of boots at me. Somebody threw a pair of tights at me and they threw some wrist tape at me. And they said, get dressed, kid. You're up in about 20 minutes. And I was like, what? They said, yep. You're up in about 20 minutes with Alexis Montez. So get with them. And you guys are on second, I believe. So I had very little time to prepare. I didn't know what to do at all. So it was interesting. It was fun. It was fun for sure. But yeah, I had about 20 minutes of notice to get dressed.
Oh, wow. Wow. Talk about the first match right there.
Oh my God. It was something. And the only thing he asked me, he was like, what do you want to do? And I said, something off the top. And without hesitation, Lex is like, all right, cool. You're going to miss a missile drop kick off the top rope. And I was like, I've never even done that. He said, well, you're missing it, so why does it matter?
Right.
It's like, all right. And still to this day, I've never done a missile dropkick off the top rope ever again.
Really?
I took it flat back.
Right.
And I get to the back, and Roger looked at me. He goes, Good match. A future reference. When you do a missile drop kick, go to your stomach, not to your back. And I was like, now you tell me. I was like, now somebody tells me how to do that bump the right way and, you know, save my bump card a little bit.
Right. You want to save that bump card for sure.
Oh, especially with the bumps that I kind of take sometimes.
Right. Now, if you could pick, while we're talking about matches, if you could pick three matches that you've had thus far in your career as your favorite matches, what matches would you pick?
Oh, man. Number one for me is definitely the scaffold match that I did with Gustavo about a year and a half ago. By far, I don't think anything could ever top that. I think if that was into a 15 or 20 year career, that's how I would have wanted to go out, something like that. So that's definitely number one for me. There was a street fight that I did with Christopher Michael Lotus against David Tyler and Dakota Wolf at the NWF for the tag team titles a couple years ago. That's probably number two. Oh, man. Number three is tough. I've had some really good matches, I think, at OVW with Cal Hero, with Luke Curtis, with Isaiah. So, yeah, oh, man, that third one's, I don't know, man, that's tough.
I know, it's hard to pick. Yeah, every time I ask that, it's always like, that's a hard question. You know, that's a good one.
Because yeah. I've had so many matches with Luke, Cal, and Isaiah, and then with Gustavo. I could probably do a top five with Gustavo because we've done everything there is to do with each other. So yeah, those are my top two for sure. And then there's a lot of like three, four, five in there.
There you go. Hey, nothing wrong with that. And we'll get into your feud with Gustavo in just a little bit. But let me ask you, how did Star Rider come to be?
So I was training with Roger at the NWF, and my very first match was as Star Rider. But at the time, it was just kind of a way to get guys like myself who weren't quite ready, but Roger wanted to see where they were at in front of a live crowd against a veteran opponent to kind of see how they were doing and all that kind of thing. So I would get the Star Rider nod once every 6 weeks or so just to kind of see where my progression was at throughout training and all that. And Roger sits me down one day at training and he goes, "All right, so I'm thinking about keeping the mask on you and doing this." And I was like, "All right, cool." He goes, "So you got 2 weeks to find gear, like new gear." And I was like, "2 weeks?" It's like, "What?" I was like, "That's going to be impossible." He goes, "No, it's not. Go to these websites and you'll find boots, you'll find tights, and you'll find a mask." So I was like, "All right." So I barely had the mask in time. And I was like, "All right, so what are we doing with the name?" And he goes, I don't know. We'll figure that out." And it's like the day before the event. And I'm like, "What is my name going to be?" And he goes, "Star Rider." I was like, "We're sticking with this." I was like, "This has been a joke for like 15 years. Like it was the piss break. Like when I came out or when the Star Rider came out, people would go to the bathroom or they get their food or they check their phone or whatever." And I was like, "That's a terrible, terrible idea." It's like, "I hate that." He goes, "Well, you're going to learn to like it." And he just does this. Like when I don't like something and Roger, and he just puts his hands out and he goes, "Trust me." And I was like, "All right, you've been doing this for 40 years. I guess you're not wrong." And here we are 7 years later and the Star Rider has still here somehow.
I love it. It's different. You don't see it a lot of places. Yes, I mean, you see luchadors, you know, but it's not something that you see a lot of places that someone can get a mask, put it on, and just become Star Rider like you have.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I'm proud of to be able to like take into the next level and, you know, do everything that I have done as Star Rider, because like I said, 8-10 years ago, Star Rider was kind of looked at as like a joke, and it was just meant to get random guys on the card from time to time if they needed, you know, quick squash match, put someone under the hood or whatever. So to do everything that I've done with the gimmick and make it my own, I'm definitely pretty proud of it.
Definitely, for sure. Can I talk to you, speaking of the mask, can I talk to you of what the mask means to you?
It means a lot to me because, like I said, Rey Mysterio is one of my biggest inspirations growing up, and I always thought it would be cool at some point to wear a mask, even if it was just, you know, like I thought Star Rider was going to be just like something kind of quick until I got a different gimmick to go along with that. So I always thought it would be cool to wear the mask. And so it means a lot to me. So I'm glad I still have it. No one's been able to take it from me just yet. And hopefully they won't anytime soon. So yeah, because this is like a luchador, like this is our identity. Like most people, it's their actual face, but for this, like this is my identity. So I don't know who I would be without it.
Exactly. Now how did you come up with using the phrase mollywop? I love this, by the way.
So a couple of my buddies, Adam and Rex, you know, we trained together at the NWF, we're good friends and everything, and they would say it from time to time in their promos, but it never really caught on. And I remember I'm on my way home from an OVW event. It was like in the middle of my second Rush title run, I think. And I'm upset about the Bengals. Like they had just blown a lead or something. I'm on the phone with one of my best friends from Michigan. And I was like, I'm cussing them out for whatever reason. It was either the Bengals or the Reds or somebody. And I said, they just keep getting mollywopped. And I said, I'm sick of them getting mollywopped. And he goes, what did you say? And I said, mollywopped. And he said, what does that mean? I said, I don't know, but that's what keeps happening to him. And then it hit me. I was like, dang, I got a pre-tape next week. Let's just see if I can get this. Let's just see if I can get this over. And I said it without telling anybody. And they said, what? They said, what was that? And I said, I don't know. I was angry and it just, you know, came out. I wanted to say it. And they said, well, keep it. And I was like, all right. I'm now known as the Star Rider and the King of the Mollywhopping.
I love it. It is definitely like a catchphrase. And if you don't have it on a shirt, I would say you should put it on a shirt.
that's one design I'm trying to fit. So I think the finish at OVW, the double stomp, it's called the Falling Star Stomp. And it just came to me the other day. I was like, why is it not called the Molly Drop?
Right.
I think that's what I'm going to start calling it. So I'm going to try to get a good picture of me in air doing it with the words Molly Drop underneath. So I think that's going to be one design. That's one design I'm currently trying to figure it out.
That'd be awesome. That would definitely be awesome. Now, how did you come up with your moniker, the Star of the Show?
So again, I'm at training at Rogers, and we don't get a chance to do a whole lot of promos because we only would train there 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6 to 8. And so he wanted the guys in the ring as much as possible, you know, doing cardio, blow up spots, and working on matches and stuff. But one day, one of the trainers that was down there said, all right, we're doing promos in front of everybody. So of course it's the day that all the veterans are there, all the guys that have been working for 15, 20 years in the company, they're all there, and all of us younger guys. And they said, all right, Ryder in the ring, cut a promo on so-and-so, and you have 30 seconds. Promo was god awful. I don't remember what it was, but I just ended it with, you're going to find out why I'm the star of the show. The first thing out of everybody's mouth, promo sucked. So I had my head down. They said, catchphrase, good, keep it. And I was like, oh, okay. So at least I found that. So now every time I do a promo, I just end it with, I'm the star of the show.
All right. I love that. I love that how you just used it organically. And like,
yeah, it wasn't forced or anybody told me to say it. I was just in the heat of the moment and the words popped out of my mouth. And I was like, all right, well, now I got something to kind of, my first thing I could start working with in my promos was just, instead of being a generic baby face right. or heel, I was like, all right, if I get lost or no matter what, I'm ending with, I'm the star of the show. So I was like, all right, at least I got that. Bad promo, but, you know, great great ender. One liner.
Yeah, for sure. How did your time in NWF, Northern Wrestling Federation, come to be?
Oh, man, I'm still with them currently. I've been with them for 7 years since I started. It's been nothing but a good time being able to learn from Roger Ruffin. He's not only my trainer, he's also like a mentor, a father figure to me, and a close personal friend of mine. And then Wildcat Chris Harris is there every week. He's our on-screen commissioner. And then Abyss has come through that training center. Carl Anderson has also come through there. Now Jordan Clearwater. So there's been a lot of reputable names that come through. And it's been a great, great learning experience. I've had so many ups and downs there. And I've loved it. That place is home.
What's it like being around a guy like with the knowledge of Chris Harris?
Oh my God, it is it's insane. It's just insane. Like every time I'm trying to talk to him about something, he's like, yeah, but you know, do this, and like just the knowledge and everything he has. Like when I think I got him beat on something, he's like, no, because this is gonna make more sense when we do this or if we do this, and I'm like, gosh, dang it. Like I'm always trying to one up him and Roger and even Justice or Abyss from time to time, but I can never seem to get him or make my idea as good as theirs is. So it's a wealth of knowledge, you know, Roger being in the business for 40 years and Wildcat doing everything in TNA, WWE, WCW, and obviously Abyss and his time in TNA, and now him being a producer for right. WWE. So it's just a wealth of knowledge. Like you're constantly learning from those guys. Like I've been there 7 years, and every time I talk to any one of those guys, I learned something new. So it's amazing.
That's definitely some great learning trees to be under for 100%. Sure. What did it mean to you to become the NWF heavyweight champion, and what was the moment like?
It was a moment that I had been thinking about ever since I walked through the doors at Bone Crushers for the first time. I always wanted to be the guy to represent the company and, you know, be the face of the company. And I was never really sure if it was going to happen or not, just because of like my size and everything. Cause I'd always been told, oh, you're too small to be a heavyweight champion. Like, oh, you're not a heavyweight, so you can't compete for the heavyweight championship. And I just kind of, you know, said, screw you to those people. Just keep watching me. And last year at FanFest, our biggest event of the year, the main event, I beat Adam and Rex to be the heavyweight champion. And it was a moment that I'll never forget, for Adam to do the honors for me, to be able to share the ring with those two in one of the biggest matches of our careers. And then to have one of my old trainers in the crowd, to have my best friend from Michigan in the crowd, my family in the crowd, my girlfriend in the crowd. It was just an amazing experience. And then for the whole locker room to empty out on me, I had no idea that was happening. I'm just looking at the title and I look up and Lotus is the first one to put me in a bear hug and not let me go. It was a moment that I'll never, ever forget at all.
I'm sure for sure. Like that has to be like, nothing can top that. Like
it's
at least right now.
Yeah. Right now it's tough to top that moment for sure.
What was it like to make history in NWF and becoming one half of the first ever intergender tag team champions with your tag team partner Nikki Victory?
That's another really, really cool idea, because Lotus, we were in the middle of our second run, I think it was, and he goes down with an injury. And Roger tells me, like, oh, yeah, like, you're going to have to defend the titles by yourself against Josh and Andrew. And I'm like, by myself? I'm like, there's an easy fix here. I was like, it's right in front of you. He was like, it's Nikki. He goes, all people aren't going to believe that, like, you and Nikki being the champions or whatever. And I said, just trust me. I was like, you always do this to me, so I'm doing this to you. I was like, just trust me. So we did the deal where we got the titles vacated due to a double pin situation. And then we win the titles like a week or two later and make history. And that was that's a really cool moment, because she's only the third girl to ever hold the NWF Tag Team Championship. And we were the first ever intergender ones to do it. And she's one of my best friends. So to be able to share that moment with her, it was another incredible feeling that's tough to top, because I don't know, like, that's probably never going to be done again, at least for a long time. So to be able to say that we were the first ever, and even if there's 1,000 more after us, we're credited with the first time ever getting it and breaking that boundary. So really, really cool moment to officially win the titles with her.
That is definitely really, really cool. Now, maybe people don't know, maybe people do. If you watch AEW Dark, you were on an episode of AEW Dark Elevation. What was that like, and what was the environment at AEW like?
It was a great environment. Everybody that was there was so welcoming, and it's always obviously very scary, you know, when we're just there trying to do everything we can to help out but not be in the way at the same time, because they have a TV show they have to run in a couple hours and it's so hectic. But everybody that I had the privilege of meeting and sitting down with was tremendous. Speedy, their photographer, did promo pictures for us. So those are some of the promo pics that I still currently use from time to time. But yeah, it was just, I had nothing but good things to say the one time that I was backstage. Everybody was welcoming, and it was a fun time. I'm hoping to, you know, maybe be back there one day.
Definitely, for sure. That's a huge opportunity too. And just to say you've been on AEW, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Now, many people are familiar with you from OVW. Mm-hmm. I know I'm familiar with you from OVW. How did your time in OVW come to be?
So it was 2020, I believe. Somebody had asked me to ride to a show with them because their person that they I was riding down with Selena Dean. And because whoever was supposed to ride with her bailed on her that day. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go. I know Maria James, she's an agent and sometimes still wrestles for him. So I was like, yeah, cool, I'll go down and I'll say hi, whatever, you know, introduce myself to Al and whatever. So I went down and I remember meeting Al for the first time. I think I met Adam Revolver and Doug Basham for the first time. And I remember meeting AJZ and I want to say Cashflow. Too. Those were all the guys that I met. And Al, and then Maria told me like later that week, she's like, hey, come down. We want to sit and talk with you about possibly bringing you in for the Rush division. So I was like, okay. So I went down there one week, just reintroduced myself to Al and Doug and Adam. And Adam looked at me. He goes, can you be here next week? And I was like, yeah. He goes, all right, I'll put you in a match. And then he just kind of walked off and I'm like, oh. All right, so then I went down. I thought it was just going to be a dark match, you know, just kind of, you know, see what I could do or whatever. But nope, straight away, put you on TV.
Wow.
First match was with AJ Daniels for OVW.
Wow, that's pretty awesome how you got on to OVW. And then speaking of OVW and the Rush Division, you are a two-time OVW Rush Division champion. Mm-hmm. What did that moment mean to you becoming the champion for the first time? But then holding that title twice, what did that mean to you?
So the first time was a complete shock because they were kind of elevating me a little bit. I was starting to get, you know, some wins under my belt and everything. And they just, you know, Maria, she was really one of the key components of helping the Rush division behind the scenes. And she just kept doing the same thing Roger did. She said, just trust the process. And I said, hey, I'm in no rush. I'm on, you know, Fight TV every week. I was like, that's more than enough. So I was in a four-way with Hatib, Gustavo, and Isaiah. And Isaiah was the champ at the time. And I thought, oh, so it's either – they're probably going to keep the belt on Isaiah or put it on Gustavo because those two had the story. So we're putting together the match. And we said, yeah, we can just have Isaiah steal the finish at the very end. And then Doug comes up. And he goes, you ready for tonight? I was like, yeah, we got some good things called. I think he goes, all right, congratulations, kid. And I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean? He goes, do you not see the run sheet? I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? He goes, you're going over, kid. I was like, what? I was like, are you kidding? I was like, this is a joke, right? It's like, haha, like real funny. Like, haha, fucking rib the new guy. That's cool. And he goes, no. You're stealing it after, you know, Isaiah's doing his thing and you're doing your deal right afterwards. And I was like, oh shit, you're serious. I was like, oh, okay. And it's wrestling. So I'm, you know, just like, oh, they're ribbing me, and as our music's playing, they're like, oh, ha ha, like, good one, or, oh, we're switching it, whatever. Because it's wrestling, you never believe it till it happens.
Right, right.
So when I hit the frog splash, and then the referee counted the 1, 2, 3, I was like, oh, wow, this is real. I was like, this is cool. I'm not gonna, it was a cool moment for the very first time. I had no idea, wasn't expecting it whatsoever at all. And then for the second time, I remember it was right after I turned heel, and just even trying to get me to turn heel was a hard process. Because right after I dropped it to Gustavo, it was just randomly. I hadn't really been on TV a whole lot. And I just get there, and they're like, we're switching the title tonight. You're dropping it to Gustavo. I was like, all right, cool. It's like, that's fine. Like, I love Gustavo. I got no problem doing that for him. He deserves it. And then I remember the next week, Maria said, yeah, we're not too sure what to do with you now. I was like, it's easy. It's like, turn me heel on Gustavo. Like, we've teamed before. People know how close and everything we are. I said, just let me turn on him. I was like, let's just do like this kind of slow or out of nowhere kind of turn. And she goes, you think Al's going to go for that? Well, if we stick to it hard enough, yeah, eventually he might just do it just to get us to shut the hell up. And then I remember we were just doing these series of matches where I would come up so close, but he would steal it away from me. And then I'd win the non-title match to become the number one contender again. And then he would beat me in the title match again until it all eventually culminated with me turning on him and then me beating him in the last man standing match, which was supposed to be our blow off because we had already done 2 out of 3 falls. We had done 30 men in Iron Man. And then this was supposed to be the end of the feud. And then we do the body bag match, and that was supposed to be the end. And then I was like, so you're going to hold a funeral service for him. He's going to pop out of the casket and he's going to beat your ass around the ring or whatever. And then how the scaffold match came to be, I'm sitting somewhere, and I look down and I'm getting a call from Al. And I was like, this is weird. Al never calls me. I was like, what's, I was like, I must have been in trouble for something. It was like the day after TV or something. I was like, I had to have screwed something up. And he goes, so I got an idea for you. I was like, all right. He's like, what about doing a cinematic match? Like buried alive match with Gustavo. I was like, fucking, yeah, let's do it. Awesome. I love that idea. It's never been done before. And he goes, but wait, I got one more idea if you just shut up and listen. And I was like, all right, I'm probably not going to like it, but yeah, let's hear it. He goes, what about a scaffold match? It's like, Doug, we can get one for like free. I was like, a scaffold match? You're serious? He's like, yeah. I was like, sure. And I knew Gustavo was afraid of heights. And I said, Gustavo's probably not going to want to do it because he's terrified of heights. But I was like, if he says yes, then 100% I'm in. And then I get to TV the next week and I see Gustavo. We're in Al's office. And I was like, so what are we doing? The cinematic match? He goes, you're not. And I was like, what? He's like, no, we're doing the scaffold match. And I was like, this guy's afraid of heights. He said, yeah, but he said he'll do it. And I was like, it's like, all right, fine. This thing can't be, you know, too big. In my head, I'm thinking it's not going to be like the Cornette one, the 20, 25 footer. And no, but it was about, it was probably about 15, 20 feet in the air.
Oh, yeah. Every bit, I'd say.
It was terrifying. It was terrifying.
I can only imagine, like, oh, my gosh. Like, I seen pictures and I watched it. Like,
oh, wow. I saw a picture on Wednesday. So we did TV Thursday and we had the pay-per-view that Saturday. And I saw a picture Wednesday because they set it up. And I was like, and I looked down, and I was like, oh, that's not that far of a drop. I was like, I can probably do something, you know, kind of crazy to take the bump on there. So I'm getting all these wacky ideas in my head, like, oh, what can we do for him to chuck me off this thing? And then I walk into the building and I see that thing up, and I looked up and I was like, Al, what the fuck is this? I was like, it's shaking and nobody's on it. I was like, what do you expect us to do up there? It's like, how am I supposed to fall? Like, what are we doing? So we had to get up. So it was left up all the whole show Thursday. Everybody was under orders. Do not touch it. Don't look at it. Don't do nothing. Just wrestle. And then Thursday, same thing. Don't look at it. Don't touch it. Don't do nothing. And we had to close the show on that Thursday by me climbing up there to get away from them. And I remember sitting up there and I looked down. I was like, holy crap. That's when it hit me. I was like, I'm 20 feet in the air right now. Like, holy crap. was like, this is insane. So I didn't eat for 2 days.
Oh, wow.
I didn't eat.
I wouldn't blame you for that.
I was terrified. I was like, I was pacing back and forth in my house. I couldn't eat. I couldn't drink. I couldn't do anything. I was so nervous. And then just when that moment finally came for Saturday, I'm pacing up in the locker room. I'm surprised there wasn't like a hole dug across the whole locker room in the backstage area because of how much I was pacing. But once that adrenaline kicked in, I was good to go.
There you go. Like that feud that you and Gustavo had, that was such an amazing feud. Like, and your heel turn too. I loved your heel turn. And it worked too. Like I felt like you really got a lot of heat on yourself too. And mm-hmm. so that was a really good feud, a really good heel turn from you as well.
Thank you. I'm glad it went over as well as I did. Cause a lot of people, especially in that feud with him, were already starting to not like me because he was so over and he wasn't doing anything. He was just himself and he was dancing and yeah. He was so over. And I thought this is like, if we don't do it, like the opportunity's wasted. And then all the vignettes and everything we were able to do, backstage and all that stuff, man, it was, I loved it. That's going to be a tough feud to get topped for me personally.
Excuse me, personally. For sure. And of the rest division itself. And we'll get into what you're doing right now in OVW in just a few moments. But I want to talk to you about, you recently had a match with legendary Larry D. Can you talk about that match and what it was like working with legendary Larry D?
That match was, that's a very special match for me, because when I first started to, when Roger first started letting me take some outside bookings, like he would send me to Larry's from time to time to kind of like hone my craft a little bit. And Larry was always, I always asked him, you know, what he thought of my matches and just to get the feedback from him, because he had been doing it for 20 years. So I wanted that feedback. Hey, what can I work on? What do I need to do to get better to go to the next level? So he took me in, and that was my second home for a while with PTW. And I learned a lot from Larry and him just sitting down with me, which he didn't have to do. You know, he had a million other things going at the time, but he would sit down with me and talk with me and tell me, hey, you're doing good on this, but we need to work on this with you. We need to get your mic skills up. We need to get you a little bit of size on you and all that kind of thing. So when I found out I was going to be working with Larry, I was excited because it was going to be his last match in the NWF. So whether he asked for me or, you know, however that came to be, he didn't have to work with me. He could have said, ah, screw that. You know, I'm not doing that or whatever. So I'm very proud of that match. And for me to be able to beat him, you know, after everything he's done in his wrestling career and then in the NWF itself, it was another cool moment, especially for it to happen at FanFest again.
That is very cool. And shout out to Larry D. He's an alumni of the podcast as well. And so,
hell yeah.
It's very cool that you got to work with Larry D. For sure. And as we're coming up on his retirement match as well. So
yep, absolutely.
Cool. Getting back into LBW, currently you're in a, I guess we would say, a formation of a cruiserweight faction of sorts with Will Austin and Manny Domingo. Can you talk about that?
Oh, that's those guys are something, aren't they? I don't even know what to say about Will. That dude got me. He got me mollywopped last week by Jesse, and I didn't do anything. So, no. But what we've been able to do, I think it's been very entertaining. At least I think it has. But maybe that's just me because I might be a little biased because it's what I'm doing. So I don't know. But I think it's been pretty good. I don't think it was supposed to go this long. It was just kind of an idea that the three of us had, like, hey, why don't we just do this? And Al kind of took it, and now he's like, all right, this week is this. So I think it's different. It gets, you know, and hopefully the goal is that at the end of it, whenever that is, it elevates all of us to the top, and, you know, we can all be contenders for, you know, maybe it's the two of us are going for the tag titles and one of us is going for the Rush title or the Kentucky title, whatever it is. Just ultimately the goal is to elevate all three of us up. But
yeah, for sure. And I like it what y'all are doing right now. And just like, even like the bantering, you know, back and forth with each other. And then you got Manny Domingo, that's like the glue, I guess, to all of it too. And like, he's like the, okay guys, keep it together, you know, type thing. And
yeah, like,
I love it.
And then I think it was last week or maybe it was 2 weeks ago where I had to get in between him and Will because yeah. Manny was so high and he was hot tempered. And usually I'm the hot tempered one out of the three of us. So to be able to see Manny do that, I think that's good, especially for his character. Cause that's something we don't see a whole lot out of him. We just kind of see, yeah. you know, Manny. So to be able to show this different side of his character and then be able to see a character side from Will. And then just me being able to, you know, be diverse, you know, and all these different kind of things of what I can do. I can be the, you know, rah-rah baby face. I can be this mollywhopping heel, or I can be this hot-headed guy in between the two juggernauts. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I for one, love it.
Hey, I do too. And I don't know how long it's going to go, especially if Will keeps, you know, throwing me under the bus, especially when it comes to the national heavyweight champion.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, my ribs are still taped up from that. I got a black eye from him.
Wow.
And my ribs are taped up because of him.
Oh, wow. Will, you got something coming.
He might have a mollywhopping coming if he doesn't shape up.
Shots fired. do you prefer to work as a babyface or a heel?
See, I'm so used to being a babyface because I was a babyface for like 5 or 6 years at the NWF, and I'm still a babyface there. So I've never been able to show my heel side there just yet. But at OVW, I would say I'm more comfortable as a heel because I like, even when I was younger, I liked Ray and Jeff, but those are like the only two babyfaces that I liked. I didn't really care for Cena. I didn't really care for Triple H when he was a big baby face or Orton when he was a baby face. I always related to like Ric Flair back in the day, the Brainbusters, Randy Orton when he's a heel, Edge when he's a heel, Kurt Angle. So I always liked the heels a lot more because they were cool. I thought they were a lot cooler and you got to see more character stuff out of them. And that's kind of what I related to. And when I was being a baby face for so long, I thought it was always like rah rah baby face. I didn't like, I always thought we had to stay in like this little tiny box or whatever. And one day my trainer Jay Donaldson said, you don't have to be in this little box. Like you can be like, baby faces are allowed to be happy. They're allowed to be sad, angry, really, really pissed off and all that kind of stuff. So when I was able to show that as a baby face, that helped me, but I think I prefer to be a heel more.
I can understand that. Like I can see where you could like to, you know, maybe your personality is like, you know, you're a rah-rah type person, you know,
yeah.
like a simple person. But then like I'm sure a heel would be fun to do. Be fun
it
to
is.
Be a heel because like so turned up so mm-hmm. much, and it's like that's not really me, you know, in my shoot life,
mm-hmm.
you know, I guess you could say. And but in my work life, yeah, I'm a heel.
Exactly, because when you see somebody for the first time, if you're trying to get them to cheer you, they're not going to cheer you because, one, you do one good deed, that doesn't make you a good guy. But if you right. walk out there and you know, you say something the wrong way, like no matter if you're meeting somebody for the first time or just in passing, you say something with the wrong tone or just say something bad, people look at them like, this guy's a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And automatically yeah. – people hate you, and then so to be liked, it's just so much harder. You really got to earn the trust and the respect of everybody, not even just like the wrestling audience, but in like real life.
Yeah.
It takes time for people to get accustomed to you, to like you. But again, you say one wrong thing or you give one wrong look, that those people are like, oh, this guy's a dick, stay away from him, we don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exactly just like that. So it's so much easier to be a heel, and I feel I have a lot more fun with it.
Right. Do you prefer tag team wrestling or singles wrestling?
Like competing in, watching?
I just like competing.
That's tough. I didn't really used to like tag team wrestling. Like I loved watching it because it's so it's amazing. You know, like guys like FTR, they made me fall in love with tag team wrestling, with the stuff that they did with DIY all those years ago. Because of them, I think tag team wrestling is now taken seriously, and it can main event, you know, bigger events and pay-per-views and stuff. So because of them, I fell in love watching it. And then being in a tag team with Lotus, he's the only, like, and then Espiritu Maya for a little bit. I was teaming with him up in Lima, Ohio for War Wrestling. But that was just kind of like off and on. But being able to team with Lotus, and we did so many matches against Adam and Rex, the Blondes, and then against the Strays, Dakota and David Tyler, that made me really, really like being a tag team wrestler, because there's so much different things that you can do. It's not just two guys bouncing ideas off each other. Now you have four. You have more stuff. You have more stuff to play with. So it can be a lot more confusing at times and hard to follow, but I do like being in a tag team. But for right now, I would say I want to focus on my single stuff. If the opportunity comes for tag team gold at OVW with Will or with Manny, I'm not going to pass that up.
I'd love to see that tag team, you with tag team gold in OVW. Or singles gold as well.
Rushy, I need to get Rushy back soon at one point. That's the ultimate goal, is to get Rushy back. But yes, I'll cross that bridge when I come to it here, hopefully soon.
Yes, exactly. Hopefully that's real soon. If you could create your own gimmick match for you, what would it consist of, and what would the name of the match be?
Oh, that is really tough. I don't know. Definitely would throw some ladders in there. Definitely got to be some sort of ladder match. I've never done a ladder match. Oh, man. That's so tough. I kind of want to say it'd be like a mixture of like a ladder match with a scaffold in there, with a cage, maybe some thumbtacks in there too. So maybe like a weirder version of, do you remember the Ambrose Asylum that him and Jerry
did? Yes.
So maybe maybe a little bit crazier version of that, the Ryder Roughhouse.
I like that.
There we go. The Ryder Roughhouse. Have some ladders, have some chairs, on a scaffold inside a cage.
We need to get Al Snow to book that.
Hey, Al Snow, if you see this, let's think about it. Let's talk. You like money, and I like money.
Let's make it happen. who have been some of your favorite people to work with in OVW?
Definitely Gustavo's up there and everything we were able to do. Isaiah, I love that guy. If it wasn't for him and the LOB when they were a thing, I wouldn't be shit at OVW. So because of them, I got to give a lot of stuff to, especially Isaiah and Josh Ashcraft. I love those two to death. Those two are amazing. Luke Curtis, I think that dude is fucking tremendous. That dude is a workhorse. He's deserved everything he's gotten at OVW. So I'm super proud of him, because I had his first match in OVW a couple years ago. And then Cal Hero is another guy I have really good chemistry with. Every time I get to see me and him wrestle each other. So those are the guys I really think I have great chemistry with, and that we could do some magic in there. There's definitely some guys I definitely haven't gotten a chance to work with a whole lot yet in OVW that I'm hoping I get to, you know, maybe pretty soon.
For sure. I definitely, and those are some great guys that you mentioned working with. And for sure, you've had some great matches with all of them as well. And definitely, I'm sure there'll be more, you know, more to come.
Hopefully.
What are some of your goals in the next 5 years? In the wrestling business.
For me, you know, want to make, you know, a pretty substantial, you know, living off of professional wrestling. So hopefully, you know, with OVW, you know, with the Netflix show getting ready to come out here in a couple weeks, I'm hoping that gets some good eyes on us down in Louisville. But yeah, I just want to say I want to make wrestling better as a whole, not just not just for me, but I want to make it a better community and always like leave it better than when you came into it. So that's a goal. Just make it better. There's too much drama and politics backstage, it seems like, anymore. So just make it better as a whole. That's not even really a goal for me. Obviously, I want to, you know, make a career off of it. So for me personally, get signed and make, you know, a crap ton of money. But as a whole, I want to make it better as a whole, where it's a better community. We're not, you know, trying to hold each other down as much as lift each other up. Like when, you know, when I'm up here, I'm trying to reach down here and bring this next person up. And hopefully when they surpass me, they bring me back up to their level.
So just, exactly. And that's what it should be all about. You know, I love that you said that, because there aren't enough people that I don't think have that type of view and that type of, that type of want to see the next person in line, you know, pull them up. And there is, like you said, so many politics and stuff in the backstage area and stuff. Mm. Just, you know, just be kind to each other, you know, respect. So respect goes a long way, you know.
Exactly. Like in wrestling, you do have to be selfish at times, obviously. Yeah. You got to be selfish, but it doesn't mean you always have to do that, because, you know, there was, you know, somebody that was, you know, there before me that helped brought me up, like Isaiah and Josh Ashcraft and Zoe and Big Steve and Cash. Those guys didn't have to do anything with me. They didn't have to elevate me up for Isaiah in the Rush title when I first got there. They could have just said, oh, this kid's new, let's just beat the shit out of him and leave him down there. But they elevated me, made me somebody. So now then that way, you know, we have another guy for the Rush title. And then hopefully, you know, I could have made Gustavo, we brought him up there. Now it's just a big cycle of us just making each other, so that way we're all better off in the long run.
Definitely. If you could have a dream opponent, who would your dream opponent be? What type of match would it be? And then where would the location or venue be?
Oh, definitely. I think I got to say, because I've thought about this a lot, because I figured this was coming up, because somebody always asks me these questions when I do stuff like this, and I'm never really sure. I would say Jeff Hardy in a TLC match. And I don't know about the location. I would say like have to be like a WrestleMania or an All In, like at Wembley couple weeks ago. So it would have to be on a big stage. I would say like that. Jeff Hardy in a TLC match.
That would definitely be pretty cool to see. Yeah, I'd love to see that. That'd be awesome. Like that would be a dream match. Like
I'd love to do that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Any upcoming shows you would like to promote?
Let's see. So NWF has a show September 9th in Fairfield, Ohio. Unfortunately, I don't think I will be there. I will be with OVW September 9th at the Davis Arena for our big pay-per-view. Then the 16th, I will be in Ludlow, Kentucky for the NWF at the Beer Kiss Brewery. And then on September 30th, I will also be with the NWF at a return to Hits in Covington.
All right, well, fans, I encourage you to get out to these shows. Go see Star Rider in action. Go support indie wrestling. Go support wrestling in general. Spend your hard-earned money. Go out and get to these shows and support and see some great action. How can fans find you on social media, Star Rider?
It's at Rider of the Stars on Twitter, at Rider of the Stars on Instagram, and Star Rider on Facebook. And I think I have Threads. Is that a new one?
Yes. Yeah.
I think I have that. I don't know how to use it yet. I think it's just like Twitter. I'm not too sure. I just got it like a week or two ago. Haven't had any time, but I think if you just look up Star Rider, you'll see my pretty little mask up there.
There you go. Fans, go follow him on all his social medias. Go check him out. Give him a follow. Like his stuff and tell him the Final Count sent you to him.
Heck yeah.
How can fans, if they want to purchase Star Rider merch, how can they go about doing that?
I will have some merchandise at OVW this Thursday when I'm there. Currently working on some pro wrestling tees, waiting on some designs to be approved. Hopefully there will be about three or four of them, and currently working on another one to possibly get uploaded. So pretty soon, Pro Wrestling Tees will be an option for all you Star Rider fans out there.
And fans, when he does have his merch on Pro Wrestling Tees, I will go ahead and share all that with you all as well. And we'll go ahead and share it on the Final Count pages as well and support Star Rider. And then Star Rider, one last question. How can promoters contact you if they're wanting to book you for their next show?
You can reach me on Twitter or Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, any of those platforms that I have, go ahead and reach out to me on those pages.
All right, promoters, go reach out to Star Rider. Get them on your next show. Bring them to your event, and you won't be disappointed. And you'll see the king of the mollywalk right here.
That's right.
And Star Rider, I want to thank you right now for coming on the Final Count Spotlight, and you're welcome to come back anytime, sir.
Oh, thank you, man. This was a lot of fun. Definitely going to have to come back on here in the near future, and hopefully, you know, depending on when that is, I might have a championship gold around this shoulder. Maybe it's Rushy, or maybe I get the NWF title back. Hopefully one day soon.
I'd love to see it.
Have some more championship gold with me.
Yes, love to see that. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Bye. There you have it, fans. That was my interview with the star of the show, Star Rider. And again, I'd like to thank Star Rider for coming on the show and being the guest on this week's The Final Count Spotlight. But right now, I want to, again, just encourage you to come back on for our review show. And then also come back next week for the Spotlight, which you can view the video, and then you can also listen to it on audio. And then same with next week's review show. You can view it, or you can listen to it, the audio version. Or you can do both with both episodes. And so encourage you for that, and encourage you to do that. But for right now, as I say every week, we will see you down the road.